Hello, grandkids, and welcome to Stunt Granny Audio number 482. This is Kevin DeFrango. On the other end is Shahid Abdul Hadi. How you doing, good sir?
I am doing as fine as expected as someone who just received his new student loan payment plan for the 2019 calendar year.
Yeah, I did see that, and I was just like, yowzers. Yeah, I'm just going to say that I'm glad that architecture is a five-year degree.
Yeah, between 4 years of undergrad and 4 years of pharmacy school at private institutions, yes, education in the United States can be expensive sometimes.
Well, yeah, and that was the other thing that I did take advantage of, despite the fact that I was out of state. My older brother paid almost as much at Pitt as I did at Kent State, even though I was out of state, because it's a private school.
Yeah.
That makes a difference. That makes a big difference.
Kudos to that. No, it's funny, because people ask me, like, is that combined, you and your wife? I'm like, no, that's just me. It's like, wow, that's a house payment. I'm like, that's more than my house payment.
Oh,
and I do not have a small house, so that's wondering $1,470 a month.
Yeah, I would be happy if I got my house payment reduced to that at some juncture, but you know, things are what they are. I know that my bill, yeah, you can lop off a decimal place for that. Payment that I still have. I can't believe that it's still going, actually. It's just like, holy shit. I have been out of there 19 years and it's still going.
Yeah, so people say, you know, oh, stay in school. And I definitely stay in school. Like, you know, I'm not complaining because I can afford it, but yuck. I'm just thinking, like, all the things I can be doing with, like, almost $1,500 extra dollars per month. I could be investing in the economy besides just pissing it away to Uncle Sam. But like I said, you know, I pay, you know, that's how much school costs. So that's how much I got to pay. So be it. But, you know, I'm a man of my principles, like John Cena and Daniel Bryan. So here we are.
Yeah, I was going to say, it doesn't make it any easier to swallow that pill. Yeah, and, it was pretty interesting. Oh my God. I think I just saw the worst halfback pass ever. But, anyway, yeah, the most recent, when I saw the alert on my phone that Daniel Bryan and AJ Styles were gonna have a title match on SmackDown, I, decided to go, phone free and, Twitter free for a little while to see the outcome, just to see. I'm like, is Daniel Bryan getting out of this Crown Jewel thing? And sure enough, he's out of the Crown Jewel thing.
Yeah, I was wondering how he was going to swing that. Like, John Cena just said the same thing, I'm not going. And no matter how salty Raw was about that on commentary, it's like, they can't really make John Cena do anything at this point. He's part-time. He's already settled. They need him way more than he needs them. So it's kind of like he doesn't want to go. They can't make him go. But they're going to punish his ex-girlfriend. So like, that's not even a thing. Like, that's not really a threat they could do like that anymore anyway. The right. Daniel Bryan one was kind of trickier because it was like, you know, they're having a title match. Like, how are they going to get out of that? That title match, like, you know, Daniel Bryan doesn't necessarily need WWE either, but he's there more than John Cena is.
Well, didn't he sign a new contract officially?
Yeah, he re-signed a new contract.
So, yeah.
So, but, like, using, like, the whole excuse, like, they have the match, you know, a very good match, have that on TV in Atlanta, which helps because that's AJ Styles' hometown, and then have Samoa Joe basically comes in, like, to write off Daniel Bryan and set up another match. It's kind of like, okay, that's one way of handling that. Crown Jewel in general, I probably will not be watching it. And it's not really a moral thing because I'm kind of like morals and wrestling really have no place with each other. Like, I've been watching wrestling since the early 80s, and it's been trash morally since the early 80s. Like, one of my first memories of wrestling is watching Slick with a bucket of chicken being a pimp.
Oh.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, so wrestling has been quote-unquote problematic my entire life, and it's kind of like, you know, you're either in there or not. And the whole circle around the crown jewel thing's just been, I don't know. It's like, a lot of people seem to be more bothered at the fact, like, you know, Alexa Bliss couldn't wrestle in Saudi Arabia than them, like, you know, locking up women activists for speaking out against driving or the lack of driving. Like, it seems like it's been a lot of, I don't want to say false anger, because it's been some, like, it's a lot of reason to be angry, but I'm kind of like, WWE's been trash. Where was all this, like, people pointed out, where was this anger, like, you know, before? And where was this anger at, like, all the stuff they did with Eddie Guerrero and all the homophobic stuff they did with Billy and Chuck and all the stuff that they've done with women and all the racism stuff? Like, you know, Vince McMahon, quote unquote, you know, it's a good chance Vince McMahon, like, helped one of his wrestlers get away with murder.
Oh.
We kind of all know that. It's like, you know, this is kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back. And if it is for people, that's fine. For me, I already knew I had no, you know, aspirations of, like, how noble Saudi Arabia was to begin with. I'm not watching the show because the show's boring. Like, it's just too much negative noise around it. And considering the fact, like, it shouldn't be boring because, you know, at first she was going to have Daniel Bryan wrestle AJ Styles. That should have been a big deal. Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement should feel like a big deal. A tournament with, like, Rey Mysterio and Randy Orton and Seth Rollins and Kurt Angle, like, wrestling, should feel like a big deal. And Brock Lesnar wrestling Braun Strowman for the title should feel like a big deal. None of them feel like big deals because it seems like it's just wasted so some old Saudi men can, like, live out their little fantasy. And I'm like, they go ahead. And it's on a Friday afternoon, too. Like, work.
Yeah. There's a lot of things surrounding it that, yeah, I mean, I watched the Greatest Royal Rumble, but there isn't a whole lot drawing me into this one. Like you said, like, Shawn Michaels coming out of retirement should be one of those things that's just like, oh my god, I can't wait to watch him wrestle again. But it's just like, in a tag team with a clearly, and not that I'm giving him really any grief, but a clearly out of shape Mayoral Kane, and Undertaker hasn't looked good at WrestleMania for the last 2 years, at least. Yeah, like, Triple H always ends up with a good match, but I mean, he also has a style that he doesn't need to do a whole lot either. And he's the youngest of the lot.
Which is saying something. Triple H is a young, he's going to be the Ricky Morton of this match. It's like, if you're saying that, you can tell who he's in the ring with. It's just like, I don't blame Shawn Michaels for coming out of retirement because he can do whatever he wants. And that whole he broke his word crap is not, I don't care one way or the other. It's his career. If he can still go and make money, God bless him. And I don't really blame any of them for going over there to make that money because they were stuck between a rock and a hard place. It's kind of like they were saying, well, WWE could have canceled. I'm like, you know who's in their Hall of Fame, right? Like, you know who Vince's wife works for. You really, like, canceling was never really an option at this point. It's like,
right.
It is what it is. So,
although
I'm
is
more irked about the whole thing is that they've been so wishy-washy about it. Because they went from, we're pushing how great it is and everything like that, to if you've watched WWE program in the last 2 weeks, you have no idea where Crown Jewel was being taken place at. Like, they have made a concerted effort to not mention. They just say, oh, this worldwide international event. Where? Parts unknown? Like they have not mentioned Saudi Arabia at all. Because, yeah, Saudi Arabia is radioactive. But they're still having a match. And it says a lot that when they try to promote it during Evolution, the crowd cracked all over it. Like, they showed it on the screen, and you could just hear people booing. And I just laughed because it was kind of like, you have this women's show here, and you bragged about how, you know, basically how evolutionary it is. we're taking steps for women empowerment, and then you're marking a show where none of the women can go except for apparently Renee Young, because she's going to commentate at Crown Jewel, and I don't know how they swung that, and I just wonder how she even feels about even going. Like, yeah,
she's got to feel pretty awkward being the like only woman over there. I don't know if they have anyone from, you know, because I don't know if they need anyone from. I guess they'd still need a makeup crew, right?
I mean, I think it's who's wearing that much makeup beside the Undertaker.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like that's one of the beauties of like having a men thing. Like they know how to do their own tans and spray tans. So yeah, that whole like it's just the whole show just leaves like a sour taste in my mouth just because it's kind of like it's only necessary to get money, and they should have never really did it in the first place if they wanted to do this whole moral thing. But the fan reaction, too, is kind of like, y'all seem to be real picky and choose, like, this kind of like, I don't want to be the type saying y'all kind of late to the game, but that's basically how I've been feeling, like, y'all been kind of late to the game, and now y'all gonna be this whole, oh, this is where, yeah, you know, this is the straw that broke the camel's back, I can't take anymore. I'm like, did y'all not live through all that stuff that happened with Eddie Guerrero, where they basically milked his death in such a tasteless, crass manner when Randy Orton talking about, you know, like Eddie's in hell and all that stuff. And they basically used his death as a storyline to try to get Chavo Guerrero and Rey Mysterio over. And like, you know, Eddie Guerrero really died that whole, well, that's what he would have wanted. Didn't make you feel any better. So that didn't break your, that didn't break your back. All the stuff with Jimmy Snuka didn't break your back. All the stuff with Hulk Hogan didn't. But this is the one. I'm like, okay, I guess, but it's kind of like I've washed my hands of that a long time ago. Like, I don't have any interest in the show, not just because of the noise around, it's just because it's for what? Really for what?
They just have it. The rate that they're having big events is just kind of tough at this point. They had to take last week off for, you know, to promote Evolution, which honestly, in and of itself, probably didn't get enough promotion. So, they're just in a tough spot, and then this is leading into Survivor Series, which is like 2 or 3 weeks away or something like that. It's just a lot to fit in, I think, and to try and keep. And I guess that's the one thing about this weird Saudi obsession with these older wrestlers. Aren't you going to kind of run out of some combination of them at some juncture, too?
I mean, yeah, but it's like as long as the check's clear, they'll make it work. It's kind of like people joke about, you know, they like all the people they grew up watching the 80s and 90s. And I'm like, yeah, they're those type of fans. The only difference is I can spend enough money to actually have, it's like, you know, being a big kid, I can make toys. I can have my own toys. Like, people make the joke about, you know, that's why I laughed about Ronda Rousey talking about, oh, we can bring culture and everything. And people saying, like, you know, they should have the women wrestle because the Saudis can appreciate American women. And I'm like, did y'all forget who Janet Jackson was married to? Like, these rich bastards have no issues interacting with American women. Like, if they want to, they'll just marry them. Or just say, oh, I'll give Beyonce $20 million to perform my birthday party. They get as much American culture. They're not worried about Alicia Fox. Like, that's not that whole thing. It's like, they just don't want women there because they not messing with the women like that. Like, that's just how they roll. Like, it's real. It's messy. And WWE should have known what they were getting in bed with. But it was kind of like, you know, they're cutting the check.
And it's like,
it is a big ass check. So, like, you know, money talks. And a lot of companies were doing the same thing. And they were like, you know, money's money. And to be perfectly honest, it's kind of like, you're going to kind of have to, like, a lot of countries they do business with including our own, kind of had like some sketchy stuff. Like America can be all high and mighty with Saudi when they do shows in China, and China's making people just vanish for not paying their taxes, and having people like locked up in concentration camps because they believe they had the wrong religion. And we're both Americans, and we see what's kind of going on around here. So it's like, you know, we can't be this whole the moral standard for the rest of the world when it comes, like, yeah. So it's just a mess. Like, the whole thing is just messy. And it's not enough good matches for me to, like, overcome the messiness. And, like, Friday afternoon is just an awkward time to watch wrestling if you have a career.
Yeah, that's one that just really is... And that happens with just because of the time difference. The New Japan shows. And I do even remember watching, you know, a couple of the UFC fights that were over in the Middle East. I don't think they ever did them in... I'm not sure if they've been in Saudi Arabia for, it was like, the United Arab Emirates or something of that nature. But they're just on at such an oddball time for... especially in Eastern time zone, that it's just like... what do you want me to do here? Like, that's just weird. You know, you're kind of... You're trained to watch something at a certain time, and when it's at a completely trash time, honestly, like, when people are working.
Yeah, I've learned with me, when it comes to the, like, network thing, if I don't watch it live, and it's not something I really want to watch, I'm less inclined to watch the whole thing later. Because I remember watching the Australian show, and I didn't finish it. Like, I did not see the Undertaker Triple H match. I think I stopped at the title match beforehand. It's kind of like, I'm just like, you know, it's kind of like, because one, it would start like 6 or 7 in the morning. So I didn't start watching until like 9. No. And I'm just watching it, and I'm like, I got other stuff to do. Like, I got to get to the point where I'm like, you know, like, why am I watching this? Like, it was fun, but it felt like a chore. And I'm like, I can just do other stuff on my Saturday. Consequently, when I watched Evolution, and I was actually watching at work, I was like, that's one of the best shows they put on in a long ass time. Like, that show was, it's funny where it did not feel like a WWE show. It felt like a takeover show.
Well, and that's like, what made it really interesting when they mentioned that Vince McMahon was running Gorilla, because it really did feel like an NXT show.
Yeah, like the lighting and like the matches, and it's like that crowd was awesome. Like that crowd made the show, and you could tell they were up for it. People were kind of like skeptical, like how a woman's show can come, and they start off with the guitar player, like the two guitar players and the drummer. Like, oh, what's this, like ECW? Like, we start with music. Like, it's kind of like you're not used to seeing that, because they don't really start WWE pay per views like that. Besides Mania. But like, even Mania just does the anthem. They'll do music like halfway through the show. This one's like, you know, we ready to kick some ass. And as soon as Trish Stratus came out and the crowd lost their damn mind, I'm like, oh, this is a different type of crowd. This is like a regular WWE crowd, because they treated her like she was a rock star. And from the start of that match all the way through, the crowd was just hot. They were into everything. And it was kind of like, I know Chris complained about the car, saying it could have been a lot better, and Jeremy talked about it too, and my whole thing was, it's a two-match car. Anything else is kind of like, you know, icing on the cake anyway, and as long as it's entertaining, no one's going to complain. And every match was either good, entertaining, or both. And it wasn't too many matches.
You know, the one thing that Missy and I didn't talk about, and I was kind of interested in your take, I've always had a lot of problems with buffering on my laptop, and this was one of the few shows that I have not had any problems, and it really made me kind of wonder how, like, as hot as the crowd was, which, yeah, they were awesome, it made me wonder how many people were actually watching it on the network.
They said it was sold out, and so that's one, and going on Twitter, there was a lot of people talking about it. So it was like, it was getting, so I don't know how many people were watching, but I know the people that were watching, like the people that were watching were very into it, was got a lot of interest. And I didn't have any buffering issues until like the end, where the sound and the screen, like, it was off sync for like a 2 seconds. Like when you watch like a,
Oh.
I made a joke like you watch a 90s porn on sometimes like the sound doesn't match and it's kind of like just throws
Right.
you all like they put it on the internet like and I restarted it and it was fine, but it's kind of like no, it was just an awesome, it was just an awesome show. The crowd made it awesome. You could tell the women were really into it, like they just and you know it's like there was their chance to do it, and just seeing like the combination of like older and younger wrestlers how they interacted, you know, like you see. Like it's funny, like the tag match, Alicia Fox is probably the youngest person out of those four, and she's been wrestling for like a decade.
That was the one thing I mentioned on the other show. Like, I couldn't believe Beth Phoenix is like, "Oh, I helped break in Alicia Fox." It's like, "Oh, okay, that puts it in perspective a little bit."
Yeah, like how many women tag matches you have where you have like we got these four veterans that have like 10+ years of experience, more or less, or been around that long, and it's like you normally see like one or two, and all of them have, like has ring work, and you can like you know when Trish gets in the ring with Mickie James, the crowd just loses their damn mind because they remember like the history they have, and like even little stuff like the Battle Royal, for example, that. That battle royal had no business being as good as it was, or as entertaining as it was. Like that thing had a story from beginning to end. People interacted with each other. The crowd was into it. Like the little stuff, like Carmella dancing with Ivory, which is hilarious. Like you know, because it's funny that Carmella's like so entertaining, so over. Like people got mad when she got eliminated.
Yeah, she has had the fastest turnaround in crowd reaction that I can remember ever. Like one week she was a heel getting booed for having the championship. She loses the championship, and the next week she joins up with R-Truth and everyone loves her.
Yeah, like that's all that happened. People, she joined with R-Truth, people like R-Truth. So it's like, okay, we can like Carmella, and if, and it helps that Carmella's likable. But you know, you have that. You have the stuff with Mandy Rose where she eliminates Sonya Deville, and it's like, oh, that you know, their tag team partner, friends, like you know, every woman for herself. And then she tries it again with somebody else. And I forgot the spot. Like she tried to do it again, and basically she got double teamed. Like with, I want to say it was like Asuka Naomi that eliminate her, and
Oh, yeah.
because she tried to do the same. She basically tried to do the same thing twice. And it's like the second time she got caught, Michelle McCool busting out her Kevin Nash offense like she always does. Like, like she basically, I always call like you know Charlotte 1.0. Like she was original. Like she's that original tall blonde girl that just beat the crap out of people and did not have fans for various reasons. And now Charlotte has that mantle.
I definitely made the joke about that. I never had a problem with Michelle McCool's in-ring work, or at least I don't think I did. The charisma part I thought was a little lacking.
Yes. Yeah, I saw like the whole that black hole t-shirt comment. I like I did get a chuckle out of that because I remember that term of endearment that was given to Miss McCool McTaker from back in the day. So.
But I well, and another thing, like all of the ladies that aren't regularly on in the WWE, I'm like, they're all still in fantastic shape.
Yeah, like you see Kelly. Kelly is like, wow, she looks better than she did when she was wrestling. And you see like Tori Wilson, you see someone like Molly Holly, like just they hit a certain point, stop aging. Even like Medusa, that's been around for the longest, it's like she did not look her age. And it's like, you know, they're still in there, they're still entertaining, can go. And like the crowd was into it when Asuka and Ember Moon got in each other's face and the crowd to start chanting NXT. I'm like, yeah, this is not a typical WWE crowd. Like this crowd has some spice to it. Like they were into what they needed to be into. You know, they were rooting for Ember Moon because she was like the underdog, but they weren't mad that Nia Jax won, which kind of which is funny. Like, and it's funny like how they treat Nia Jax because she's like a babyface bully. if that makes any sense.
Well, yeah, they haven't really changed her character at all. And, yeah, that's what it is. I mean, because she's even, they even kind of, her and Ember Moon really made up this past Monday, even after the match. So it's just kind of like, yeah, they're not turning her heel. I mean, she definitely has a little bit of an edge to her, and I suppose she'll need it going against Ronda Rousey. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, babyface bully, they seem to like that, because they've done it quite a number of times here recently.
Yeah, like you have that match, you have the finals of the Mae Young Classic, and kudos to Toni Storm for wrestling, even though she's, like, all beat up and injured, like, she did a good job hiding it. Like, you wouldn't know watching the match that she's basically walking wounded. And I'll sure, it's funny, because Steve always, he made the joke to me every time he watched the match with her, she never hit the moonsault the way he liked. And I'm like, that moonsault she hit outside the ring, I'm like, that was, you know what's funny? It sounds something like real sexy, like, that was smooth, like a man's moonsault. And you're not used to seeing that from, like, a woman. Like, that reminded me, like Kota Ibushi's Golden Triangle moveset, because she just hopped up there and one motion just hit it square. I was like, yeah, she's good. Like, they talk about how good she is. It's like, yeah, she's real damn good.
Yeah, her balance is pretty uncanny. There aren't a lot of people that that can pull that off. And, yeah, there's just a... How do I want to say it? Like, I guess I just feel like the women take a little bit of a different trajectory usually when they're doing a moonsault.
They have the lead of gravity. It's yeah. Kind of like they seem to be, it's funny where it's either super horizontal or super vertical. Like, Charlotte gets a lot of height, but she doesn't get a lot of distance. They either get a whole lot of height or they get a whole bunch of distance, but they don't get both. And Io Shirai got both on that one. It's kind of like that's what stood out to it. And, you know, like Toni Storm is a star. Like, for her to be as young as she is and just to be that good at that age, like, she's what, 22?
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, even though she looks like she's about to rush to the ring to get the last beer, I don't know if it's like her walk or just her look. Like, she's. She doesn't have that cookie-cutter look. Like, she's definitely got something different to her. The crowd gets behind her. She treats every match like, you know, it's a war to win that match. I'm a little surprised she won just because Io's better, but I don't think Io needed to win be as... Because everyone kind of understood, like, you know, she's a star. She's good, win or lose. So it's like a loss doesn't really hurt her that much. It definitely helps Toni Storm.
Yeah, and it'd be a little weird to have her get to the finals after having a redemption story and then to lose it there. Because I guess you could carry some of these women over to the third Mae Young Classic, but Toni Storm looked pretty damn good last year. So I don't think she needed a third year. Like, maybe some of the women, I'm trying to think of, is it Lily Singh, who's the Indian woman that, like, last year, like, she had only been wrestling for, like, 2 months when they put her in the Mae Young Classic.
Yeah.
And like, this year.
It's some of those women, you know, maybe, like, Tainara Conti might be there for a third one. But most of those women are kind of, like, between NXT and NXT UK, they don't necessarily, like, need to be there. Like, they can get there working on the other shows. And, like, Io is free to team up with her buddy, Kairi Sane. Okay, I gotta preface this match. I know it's the reason why she's so good. I cannot stand Shayna Baszler. Like, I hate from the time when her music plays and she just comes just marching out there with that little smirk on her face. It's like, I haven't hated somebody like that in a long, long time. Like, she's awesome as a heel because she's just so unlikable. And she wrestles a way that's just, like, cruel and, like, a bully. But the fact that they had to go 3-on-1 against 90-pound Kairi Sane, like, that's... The only thing worse than a bully is a bully with friends. And I made it just like, this is who Ronda Rousey is friends with, huh? Like, this is y'all hero. Like, they just jumped this girl. Like, she was already damage. She almost tore a damn arm off. Kyrie's fighting the good fight. And then these two goons just keep interfering in the match and just choke her out. And it's kind of like, if we don't get a War Games with those three against Kyrie, Io, and Mia Yim, then life isn't fair.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Who's the third woman? Because I think I already heard people advocating for Mako Satomura to be in the match. Would I would not be offended were that to happen.
Yeah, I don't think I don't know if she's going to stick around because kind of like, you know, she's been there and done that.
Oh,
and
right.
I don't think she's like, you know, you want to stay in Orlando for a few more months to make 40 grand a year. Like, no, she's kind of, that's like, that'd be like asking, like, you know, Tanahashi, like, you want to come to Full Sail? Have some match with Velveteen Dream, help get him over? It's like, yeah, I don't think that's going to fly. Like, he's a little too, like, I think I'd be surprised if she did it. And
no.
I know Mia Yim went on Twitter. It's kind of like, hey, sis, you want some help? So.
I missed that.
Yeah. So it's like, that's three there. Like, they definitely like Mia Yim, Kyrie, and Io are like best friends. So.
That video after the fact of Kyrie and Io in the, in their hotel afterwards, kind of admitting to the defeat and everything, I was just like, God damn, man. Like, those two couldn't be any more charming.
Like, yeah. It's a shame we didn't win, but we tried our best. And it's funny where they had a subtitle and everything, and it's kind of like, they're just adorable, vicious wrestlers. You know, like, Kyrie is kind of like, you know, she's like cute, the pirate princess, and they have the smiley face, but she'll beat your ass. Io sadistic, like she be throwing on crossface and be smiling at the camera.
Yeah,
I'm not used to seeing that from women. Like, I'm gonna put you in a submission move and I'm just enjoying myself. And it's not like she's a heel doing it, it's just like I'm just having fun doing it. So you're not used to seeing that from babyface women wrestlers. I'm glad that's there. They've done a good, like you said, that's been one of the best storylines they had, like the whole Kyrie, Shayna Baszler thing. Like, they've been doing that for a while now. It's like, kind of like, I was wondering how they were going to handle that, you know. Either you're going to have Shayna lose, and like, you figure if she loses again, she probably had the main roster. But it's like, if you have her win, like, how you have her win and protect Kyrie Sane, I didn't even think about the other two being there.
Oh.
Like, because I'm like, I'm not used to, like, Shayna Baszler needing help. She's always been like, I'm gonna break your arm and I'm bigger and stronger than everybody. Like, I don't need henchmen or henchwomen. So the fact that she used those two on that is kind of like makes you hate her even more, which works.
Baszler is she plays out of the Heel Tactics 101 book, and yeah, like you said, nothing's worse than a bully except for a bully with friends. Especially when they're picking on a 90-pound woman.
Yeah, it just reminded me, like, Brock Lesnar, when he was on Survivor Series, and he was rolling, like, Matt Morgan and Nathan Jones in the Big Show. It's like, come on now. Like, why don't you just get Godzilla and be done with it? You got Brock Lesnar, and you get him with everybody that's bigger than him, like, so you can beat up Bob Holly and Kurt Angle.
Well, nothing's wrong with beating up Bob Holly, so.
Oh, no doubt. But I just always laugh. Like, I remember that Survivor Series team, and I just laugh at, like, how insane that was. Like, basically, it's like, let me get the biggest people we have in the company to be the bodyguards of Brock Lesnar.
Oh.
The good old days. So,
the good old non-problematic days, right?
Exactly. Speaking of that, I think we've been wrong about Becky Lynch, because everybody been comparing her to, like, Stone Cold Steve Austin. And you know what I had an epiphany about? They're booking her like post Attitude Era Triple H, because it's like, she's a heel, she acts like a heel, like, up until recently, like, you know, 45% of the time, like, she'll do some heel stuff and try to run away. But she talks trash, backs up her trash, and wins clean.
Oh, Yeah,
because it's like it's a last woman standing match, and normally like when heels win that, it's like they get up at like 9.5.
Oh,
the babyface doesn't get up, and then they fall back down. Like she won clean. Like she beat Charlotte. It wasn't a fluke. It wasn't no slip on a banana peel. She beat Charlotte fair and square, and it's kind of like you don't see heels win that match fair and square because it's kind of like it's just weird how they book her. It's kind of like. We're not sure if we want to go all out. It's like they book it like a tweener on purpose.
Well, yeah, and I have a hard time believing that they do that on purpose in some ways. Like, because I guess it was kind of funny to me that she, one of her tweets is like, well, I didn't think you guys would come along, but you came along anyway or something like something of that nature. I'm just like, yeah, like, everyone was thinking, oh, they're going to start booing her for this, and it did not happen at all.
Yeah, and it's funny where, like, the more stuff they did, she got a chair, but they kept on doing it. Like, you know, they had her come out the crowd in disguise and beat up Charlotte. They had her go to Charlotte's photo shoot and beat up Charlotte. Charlotte was in NXT. She gets beat up again. Like, they just had her keep beating Charlotte. And it's like, yeah, the crowd's on a chair. But they let her win. Like, and even when they did, like, you know, she disqualified herself. And then she, like, hold off, everything like that. It's like, they could have easily booked that match, you know, and had a way where she won. It was kind of like a fluky win. No, they had her win. And it wasn't like, that match was awesome. Like, that was a great match. Oh. And it's something to be said where... It wasn't a lot of blood, but that match seemed like a lot more violent than a lot of the men's matches. And I noticed that with the women, like when they want to go violent, it just looks a lot more hard hitting. Like Becky was not taking it easy with those chair shots. Like she wasn't trying to like knock her brains out, but she was not like, you know, I'm gonna tap you like I'm DDP.
I mean, there were just a lot of spots. Like, I mean, it was just kind of funny to even see a rubble spot, you know, that Charlotte coming up from all the chairs. Like, that's not something that they particularly do in all the men's matches. That's usually reserved for, well, kind of like you were talking about, those giant guys, like a Brock Lesnar or a Braun Strowman, to have that kind of a spot in there. Seems to be something a little extra violent about that happening. I don't know why in particular. And really, when you drag out that many chairs in a match, which I didn't really try to count how many chairs they drug out, but that definitely makes things seem violent when you have like two dozen chairs in the ring.
Yeah, and the crowd start chanting ECW. It's kind of like, who would have guessed that we'd be watching this pay-per-view where you've seen a woman's last woman standing match for the title, the crowd chanting ECW, and it's kind of like that's one of the best matches WWE's had this year. Like, that match was not just a woman's match, like a match period. Like, that was an awesome-ass match. And, you know, Charlotte ate that damn powerbomb. Like, when she hit it in slow motion, I was like, that, I don't give a damn that's a table or not. And kudos to Michael Cole saying, like, that early, like, you know, it's better that you didn't get all of it because you just hit the mat, you don't go through the table and the mat. And I'm like, I guess. Like, whatever you say, Cole, but it's kind of like, the announcement was always like, Michael Cole was definitely on his A game, so give him kudos to that. And Michael Cole, without Vince McMahon getting on him, or like Michael Cole, where I can just call the match and I don't have to like promote Skittles and everything like that, it's just worlds. But like, Michael Cole is awesome when they let him be. They just let him be a commentator. And you could tell that he was proud that he was able to do that. And like I said, he kicked ass on the mic. That match kicked ass. And Becky versus Ronda Rousey is going to be something where, Ronda Rousey is not going to be the crowd favorite at that match. So I hope they're ready for that. Like WWE is ready for that.
I mean, it was kind of like tonight, like, well, I think the WWE knew what they were doing with AJ Styles and Daniel Bryan, but that is one of the first times it's like, oh my god, Daniel Bryan is being booed? Like, this is pretty strange.
It had been a while. Like, it didn't help to have, like, they're in Atlanta. Like, that's basically AJ Styles' backyard.
Right.
And AJ Styles is like, I can't remember the last time AJ Styles has been booed himself. Like, they treat him like Ric Flair over on SmackDown. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, so it's kind of like they're walking that. But no, this one, I could kind of tell how the crowd was going to go based on the main event from Evolution. And I got some joy out of it. I hope people realize now that Nikki Bella is a superstar. Because for some reason, people have not wanted to admit that and everything. People wonder. I'm like, no, Nikki Bella is a big deal. She's been a big deal for a long time. And the fact that the crowd was like only like 65-35 around the Rousey, not like 90-10, like tells you, like, there's a lot of fans in there that was kind of like rooting for Nikki Bella. Like, she's been a thing. I have coworkers who don't watch wrestling who know who Nikki Bella is. Just from Total Divas. Like, oh, I hope she gets back with John Cena. I'm like,
what?
Like, you know, like, you follow that? Like, yeah, like, this, like, they know who she is. And I, like, she's, her sister are big damn deals. Like, I've gone to plenty of WrestleManias where people have dressed up like them. And and wrestling fans for the longest been like, oh, they just there because they're sleeping with the right man, and this yada yada yada. They're not that good. They're overrated. And I'm like, no. Like, it's a reason why that match went last. And it wasn't just because Ronda Rousey. Like, Nikki Bella was the star of the women's division before Ronda Rousey. Like, she's, a lot more people know who she is than like any of the four horsewomen. Like, that's just the nature of the business. It's kind of like, you know, you can feel any way you want. And she can wrestle. Like, I don't think, because it's like, oh, well, she's not Ric Flair's daughter. She won the NXT. She's not better than them, but she can hang with anybody that's wrestling in a women's division and carry herself just well. And she's one of the few women where it's like you can see her physically match up with Ronda Rousey, because Nikki Bella is a big, strong woman. And people tend to forget that, too.
That one was, despite Becky Lynch saying that she couldn't be followed, you know, honestly, that match was really good too. Like, did I prefer Charlotte and Becky? Yeah, but you know, still the rate that Ronda Rousey is learning is completely bonkers. And yeah, Nikki Bella is, she's really good. She was good, and I guess is another thing that I think bears repeating. You know, there was a time when I would have said that Nikki and Brie were not good in the ring. That time it's been a while since that statement should have been coming out of my mouth. I would probably say the better part of the last 5 years or so that they were involved in wrestling. They got to be good wrestlers before they got together with their respective gentlemen. Yeah. Though it did obviously alter both of their styles, you know, for the rest of their careers, you know? Like, Nikki Bella is still kind of doing, she's definitely got to be on that powerlifting schedule with John Cena, because, like you said, she's a big, strong woman.
Yeah, like, you're not used to a woman wrestling like Lex Luger, basically. Like, she's wrestling like a power style, but she doesn't look like Beth Phoenix, so it's always like, you know, Nikki Bella looks all too glamorous to, like, punch you in the damn mouth or hit you with a forearm or, like, drop you on your neck. Like, yeah, she's not, they're still twins, but they don't wrestle like twins, and they don't even look like twins anymore. It's kind of like Brie wrestles more like, you know, the small, quick style, like, yeah, striking and everything like that, almost like a cruiserweight, and Nikki Bella wrestles like a power wrestler. And yeah, Ronda Rousey increased, like I said, she's improving at like a logarithmic rate. It's insane how good she's been in such a short time frame. Like, the end of the match, that armbar cradle off the rope into the armbar. I'm like, that's some Tekken 3 shit. she pulled that off. Like, it did not look ugly. It looked clean. And I'm like, and then the thing where she has both of them on her shoulder and she does that judo throw. I'm like, one, well, how is that not a DQ? Because Bree just jumped in the damn ring to try to grab her, but that's neither here nor there. Two, it's like, You people forget how strong Ronda Rousey is, because Ronda Rousey doesn't necessarily like look. I think with women, we're used to like when we think of strong women, we think of like Chyna, and we think of like Beth Phoenix or even like Natalya. We're not used to like Ronda Rousey isn't big, but Ronda Rousey's just like she's like hurting, like she's like horse strong, and
yeah,
it's like she's just slinging the shit out of people. Where she had a great like that was a very good match, and I'm surprised that they. I figured they was gonna save that match for Mania. I'm real intrigued how that Becky Lynch Ronda Rousey match is gonna go, because I think it's gonna be the first match where Ronda's not necessarily the crowd favorite, and then it's one of those matches where, like Becky Lynch said, it's like yo, you used to wrestle people that's been afraid of you before the belly was. Rebellion Reign. I ain't afraid of you. I'm gonna beat your ass. Like she basically cut like a Stone Cold Steve Austin promo. Like I ain't sweat. Like you can talk all that shit all you want. I ain't sweat you because I'm the champ too. And the crowd was like, yeah. And it's like that's gonna be a very interesting match. And I'm just wondering how that match goes. And I figured like I don't know if it'd be a clean win. I figured like it'd be like a DQ finish or something. Because I couldn't see. I don't think Ronda losing. But I don't think they want her beating Becky either.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised by some type of... I don't think it's going to be a schmoz finish, because to me that would involve outside persons. But I definitely would see how it would be either a double count out or a double DQ. Something that does not put the onus on one or the other losing that match. Because yeah, that it almost seems too early to do that, and I still think it's going to be really interesting. Like Becky Lynch, I just think is going to be a different kind of wrestler to deal with than Nikki Bella.
Yes,
and Nikki Bella is probably the best in-ring performer that. That Ronda's had to deal with so far.
That is also true. And it's kind of like this is going to be a whole, like, you know, the closest, it's basically been Nikki Bella and Ruby Riott has been the two. So, because like the TV matches, like, you know,
yeah.
Becky Lynch is like a, Becky Lynch is Becky Lynch. And I'm like intrigued. Like, I'm intrigued to see the match. I'm just intrigued to see like how the crowd reacts. Because I can easily see the crowd like just turning on Ronda Rousey like real easy, and I just wonder how Ronda would handle that. Because it's funny, like Ronda, they like she's a good baby face, but I feel like she'd be a better heel. Like she just got like it's just something with her. Like she just got like you know that switch turned on. Like she could be that evil housewife. That makes sense. And it's just weird where she's a baby face and all her best friends are heels. Like, that vibe is still funny because like, they make a big deal, like, you know, Shayna and Jessamine and I can't think, what's the other woman's name? Marina?
Yeah, Shafir, Marina like, Shafir. Yeah,
like, all of them, like, they're friends, like, you know, when they were at TakeOver before and I was laughing around, like, you know, that wheel doesn't do anything. She's not even a real pirate. Go get her, Shayna. Like, they made a big deal. Like, they all friends. Like, they get along. So the fact that three of them are running around as heels and she's a baby face. It's kind of like awkward. Not as awkward as Renee Young being a commentator with Dean Ambrose being a heel.
That it continues to amaze me that they're basically like muting her mic when Dean Ambrose is involved. And even like there have been one or two times where Corey Graves has made reference to them being married, but other than that, and that's just one of the weirdest things, that they're just like, nah, we're just going to pretend that those two aren't married. We're just going to kind of...
Yeah, it's weird because they've said it on SmackDown, they said it on Raw. Like, even last week, she was like, you know, my husband Dean talked about all the time he spent with Roman Reigns and all this stuff. It's like, everybody knows they're married. But whenever he wrestles, it's like, half the time she don't even talk about him, and the other half she doesn't say anything, and it doesn't help where Dean comes out and he doesn't say anything. Seth's doing all the talking, Dean just mean mugging, And you know, then you hear Corey Graves talks for 30 seconds, and then like, oh, Renee came back from the bathroom or baking a pie or whatever they had her doing. And it's like, I mean, it's an awkward thing to handle because you've never had a situation like that where you had a spouse being one of the commentators. Like, you know, like Miss Elizabeth never called.
Randy Savage superstars,
and the Macho Man was wrestling. So, I mean, it'd be kind of be like if AJ was calling like CM Punk matches. Like, it's, they've never had to deal with this before. So this is kind of like unprecedented on like how to handle this. I don't know if the way they're doing it now is the best way, but it's just like, it's just a tough spot. Like, everyone knows they're married. But what they expect her to say? Like, I'm ashamed of my husband for stabbing Seth Rollins in the back? Like, she can't say that.
Oh, right. Then why are you still married to him?
Yeah, that'd be the next line Corey Graves say. Like, you should have picked a better husband. What you gonna do? Like, yeah, like, she's, you know, she's not a heel announcer, but her husband's a heel. But she can't really talk about the stuff he's doing when he's a heel, and she's not, because it's kind of like, it just leads to uncomfortable questions. So, yeah, I guess cut her mic off. Let Cole talk about it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm noticing it less these days. Oh, my God. Anyway, yeah, I guess that because when they first started doing it, I guess I paid more attention to the fact that they were, you know, whatever they're doing, whether she's just being silent or they're literally cutting her mic in the meantime. I guess the awkwardness has gone down a little bit for me just because I feel like she's settled in a little bit more to the commentary position. I guess at first, you know, that first week, they weren't sure. Because did they say that Coach was being replaced full-time the first time she was on? Or no, she was just on?
He was on assignment. Oh. Like, I think.
Yeah, that's what it was.
And then it went well, and he came back, and it's like, you know, she's just going to do it full-time. Which, like, kudos to her. You know, like, she's fine. Like, she's never stood out in a bad way. So that's fine. Like, compared to, like, Coach and Booker T and some of the other joke and, like, David Otunga, it was like, it wasn't necessarily, like, she wasn't replacing Jesse Ventura, to put it that way, in his prime, or, like, Bobby Heenan. So, like, she had a low hurdle to overcome, but she definitely overcame it. So, yeah, she's gotten more comfortable as, you know, time's going on. But it's still awkward, like, you know, Dean Ambrose is a big part of Monday Night Raw, and just to not have really one talk about that. It's just kind of like, you know, uncharted waters. But you know, you do the best you can with the situation you have. So like that whole Raw was weird. No, I was laughing because I was on Twitter and I saw Alexa Bliss made a comment talking about, you know, because she, you know, she cosplays, and when she does a lot of her ring outfits, it like resembles like comic attires. So Becky Lynch, she's not going to just let stuff like that slide. So she made a comment, you should cosplay as a water boy because of all the time you spent on the sidelines. Yeah, so.
Like, God said, damn, man.
Stone Cold Becky Lynch or Hunter Hearst Lynch, whatever you want to call her, she pulls no punches. Like, she has that Twitter game on lock. And. Yeah, I saw that and just started laughing because, like, Alexa Bliss has been out for a while, you know, like for injury or something like that, which is like, you know, people get injured. But right. It's like, that's still just cold, making that comment.
Yeah, I mean, I guess if you're going to do it, you need to do it right. And she's certainly doing it some way.
Yeah, she's definitely been the queen of, like, she's definitely been the queen of Twitter since she's been a heel, and kudos to her. Like, that's a thing now, you know, social media gets you over. Like being good at that, well, because fans will notice that. Like, the type of fans that notice that will be the type of fans that will cheer her and buy her stuff. Like, she's come out with a shirt that says "The Man."
Oh, well, I was just gonna say, I love the fact that she was wearing a shirt that said "I am the man tonight."
And that's just that's her Twitter name, The Man. And I'm like, who is this retweet? Like, who the hell is The Man? And then I click on it, it's Becky Lynch, and I just started laughing. And I'm like, she's just having a... Because out of the four of them, she was the one that was best suited to be both a face and a heel. Because people tend to forget that she was a heel for a long time at NXT.
Oh.
Yeah, and like, she was real good at it, too. And like, you know, they see on SmackDown, oh, she's the plucky baby face, she's the fiery baby face, and she's a great baby face. She can do both. And most of them, like, the other ones can't, like, you know, Bailey, I can really see her as a heel. And Charlotte and Sasha are better heels than faces. Like, they're natural heels. Like, Becky has that thing where she's believable in both. She's good in both roles, and the crowd loves her, so that works. But no, back to Raw. Raw was just a weird thing because they spent all this time building up Crown Jewel, even though the fans were not really having that. Like, you could tell, like, the fans were like, yeah, whatever. Like, Brock Lesnar coming out didn't even resonate because, like, I didn't expect him to come out. He came out. He didn't say anything, which is fine. Baron Corbin's talking his trash. Then Braun Strowman comes in, hits Baron Corbin with a power slam. Brock tells him to do it again. So he does it again, gets himself tired, just so Brock can F5 him. And I'm like, yeah. We're not going to realize, like, Brock's a bully. Like, Brock, like, he doesn't fight fair. And he doesn't just do stuff just to do stuff. Like, he does stuff for a reason. And these dumbass wrestlers keep falling for it.
Yeah, I guess it'll be kind of... That's the only match of interest to me on that card. Just to see what direction they're going to go with. Because Strowman kind of lost a little fan momentum from that whole Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre foray. But yeah, what was he going to do about that? Like, they definitely decided to try and move him into square heel territory.
Yeah, it was kind of like they did that because they needed Roman Reigns to be the man. And now Roman Reigns is there. Like, he left a big-ass gap. Like, Roman Reigns not being there affects a lot. Like, what's the main event of WrestleMania? Like... The rumor was, like, Roman Reigns going to wrestle The Rock if they was going to have their way, but it was kind of like their biggest star, like, their biggest male star more than likely will not be there, God, you know, unless it's like he bounces back kind of quickly, which, if he does, God bless him, but I'm like, I wouldn't cross my fingers as far as that goes, but like,
right.
Yeah, he's not going to be at WrestleMania. That leaves a big-ass gap at the top, and it's kind of like... You know, WrestleMania will be here before you know, like, it's about to be November. And then you blink and you miss it. Like, you know, Survivor Series will be here. And then Rumble is here. And that's when you kind of start building stuff. And I'm like, they gotta have Braun win. He can't keep losing.
That was the one kind of... And I guess I'm thinking about it with the AJ Styles Samoa Joe match, too. Like... Samoa Joe has kind of gotten a lot of cracks at championships and hasn't won them at all. As much as I've been advocating AJ Styles breaking CM Punk's record, like, that'd be really weird. And Braun Strowman's the same way. Like, he's had a lot of cracks at the championship, whether it's been against Brock Lesnar himself, which they've already had the one match, or against Roman Reigns. Like, really, in the long run, even though Braun kind of won that feud, Roman kind of won it just because he kept on getting pushed more.
Yeah. Like, that... Yeah, Braun was, like, the man until they decided to go... He was the man until Roman beat Brock for the title. And then it's kind of like, you know, we can't have, like, Roman's the man... Braun is standing in his way. We can't have Braun be a babyface and Roman be the champ. So we got to turn him heel, which would have been okay. But it's like, then they put him with Drew McIntyre and Dolph Ziggler, and it was like, he don't need help. Like, and then it's like, it's Dolph Ziggler. Like, Drew McIntyre's fine. And I'm surprised, like, you know, sooner or later, like, he's going to be a big deal. I'm Dolph Ziggler's whatever. Like, it's like that ship kind of sailed. And, like, why are they, like, you can see when people are together sometimes, like, it don't make sense, but it works. Like, the Riot Squad should not work, but somehow it works. Because they just seem like they actually are friends. I have no idea why they're friends, but that's why our friendships work. It's like, it doesn't have to make sense. It just has to be whatever it is. Dolph Ziggler, Drew McIntyre, and Braun Strowman, like, had the chemistry of, like, oil, water, and ice cubes. Like, it's kind of like,
yeah.
Why would these three be, like, one, why would Drew McIntyre pile around with Dolph Ziggler in the first place? Because it's like, Drew don't need that dead weight. And then two, why would Braun roll with them? Like, I know it's like, yeah, we got to beat the Shield and I need you and stuff like that. But it's like, that whole thing's just been handled weird because...
Well, and it wasn't even one of those times where they're like, well, this is a marriage of convenience to beat the Shield. They kind of made them seem like their own three-person group. But then they also kind of immediately teased dissension with Dolph Ziggler losing every match. Like, it was so weird how they set that up. I mean, because it was, and on top of that, it was mirroring the Dean Ambrose Discord in the Shield, so
yeah, like you had all this stuff happening all at the same time, and it's like, you know, is Dean going to turn? Is Drew going to turn? What will Braun do? And it's like, you can't have four different storylines happening in the same feud at once. It's like that mucks it up. Like, it's normally one or at most two, and it's like, what's Braun going to do? Can they trust Dean? Is Dean going to roll with Braun? Is Drew going to do his own thing? Are they going to kick Dolph out the group? Tune in next week on Dragon Ball Z to find out.
Well, I'm glad that Yamcha didn't die.
So, yeah, like, because it's like, I could just imagine, like, if Brock wins the title... Didn't like, can you just imagine the crowd? Like, he just comes back Monday with that shitting grin, and Paul Heyman just cuts a promo. Like, the crowd is just going to, they're just going to turn all over that because it's not, it's kind of like Brock don't need it. And if he's not, and it's like, and they dealt with like a him, like that whole part time thing kind of like the fans kind of revolts, even though which is hilarious. Like, what's wrong with working part time? Like, I wish I worked part-time, but the fans, they got to the point where the fans kind of revolted on that whole thing. So just to put it back on Brock, knowing, like, he's part-time and worrying about UFC is just going to, like, feel a certain way. But at the same time, Braun Strowman wins it. Who was he wrestling?
Oh, well, and I think both of them have the same problem just because... I mean, that was one thing on Raw that was just like, oh my god. Like, I can't believe how small Braun Strowman makes Brock Lesnar look. And I know that if I was anywhere near Brock Lesnar, I would feel as small as I am.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, he is just enormous.
Yeah, it's not even necessarily a size issue. Like, the Brock thing is a size issue, but, like, Brock's, they're used to him being part-time. Braun can't, is not going to be a part-time champion. Like, okay, is he a heel? Is he a face again? And it's kind of like, if he ain't wrestling Lashley, it ain't nobody on the Raw roster. It's like, you can go toe-to-toe with him. And I don't know if, although the thought of Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush wrestling against Braun Strowman, it's like, yeah, that's a Vince McMahon wet dream right there. It's like, because like, Bobby Lashley isn't tall, but Bobby Lashley's just huge, and he's like comic, like, I've never seen somebody with like cheek muscles on their face. Like, he frowns and his face flexes, like, it's in, like, I don't know if they're still doing wellness tests. I always wonder what, like, Bobby Lashley, like, yeah, he definitely, like, he's, and it's not just like he's a muscle head. Like, we made fun of that obstacle course nonsense with Sami Zayn, but the fact that he was doing it, like, at a quick pace is like, and he's like in his mid to late 30s. I'm like, Bobby Lashley is an athlete. So, you could see him theoretically wrestling and beating Braun Strowman. But I don't know. Like, it's just something weird. Like Bobby Lashley, like, he should be a big deal, and he never was in WWE. But him being a heel and have Leo Rush doing all the talking, I think will be the key to making that work. But I couldn't see them putting the title on Braun Strowman only to him just lose it to Bobby Lashley.
Yeah, I guess I wouldn't be... I wouldn't have a problem with that, just so that, like you said, so that Braun kind of finds his way. But of course, he's still kind of... If they turn him babyface again, you're back in that bully babyface territory that we're talking about with Nia Jax. Like, it was such a... Because even though he was doing these great feats of strength, like, he was still in a weird spot.
Yeah. I'm a cheer for the guy that pulls a wall on somebody. Or I'm a cheer the guy that, like, I'm a tip over an ambulance with somebody in it. That's my hero. Like, yeah, rooting... It's hard rooting for a giant. That's why normally big men aren't baby faces. Because, like, what's... He should win. He's bigger than everybody. Like, it's like Braun Strowman versus Finn Balor for the title. Yeah, why am I rooting for Braun Strowman to beat up Finn Balor? And then it's like, why would I think Finn Balor had a snowball chance in hell of beating him? Like, you look at, like, the babyface roster on Raw. Seth Rollins is tied up with Dean Ambrose. Roman Reigns ain't there. And everybody else is like, what, Elias? Like, it's not a lot of, you look at it, it ain't a whole bunch of baby faces left on Raw. Like, it went from having a lot of baby faces to Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, and the women.
Well, and I guess that's been kind of one of the weirder things. Maybe it's just me, but have they been turning Elias babyface with his attacks on Baron Corbin for reasons I'm still kind of unclear about, to be honest with you?
I mean, it works because I don't know if they turn a baby face. I just think people like Elias, and he's interacting, and it's different when he was interacting with people that they also like. Like him beating up Apollo Crews, of course, still heel because Apollo Crews is a baby face. Nobody likes Baron Corbin. So,
oh, right.
Yeah, I mean, that just makes it, like, Baron Corbin is a real easy target, and Elias is so damn entertaining where it's like, when you're entertaining heel long enough, you're no longer a heel. And that's what just happened with Elias. Like, he's gotten so good on the guitar and just being a performer where it's like, when you don't have to wrestle to be over, it's hard to stay a heel. Like, he kind of got to that point. It went from, like, you know, we're ironically cheering and liking him to we really like him.
Well,
even though it's funny where, I'm sorry to interrupt, like, it wasn't that long ago where he cut that promo in Seattle and they booed him for 10 minutes. Like, it was only a few weeks ago where that happened.
Well, but it was long before that I was mentioning he would get, like, everyone yells the walk with Elias when he does the WWE line, and then 5 seconds later he pulls out the line like this, they didn't deserve the supersonics or something like that. Like, I don't know how they always ended up coming up with a line for him, because he didn't usually take the easy, just cheap shot at a city more times than not. And, well, I mean, I guess the supersonics thing is kind of easy, but it also opens up I would imagine a wound that's been healed at least for a little bit, because Oklahoma City's kind of been there for, what, yeah, 5-6 years now?
It's been a lot longer than that.
Oh, goddamn. Okay.
Yeah. And it's kind of like, no, that's still a sore spot.
Oh,
the fans
is.
Let them know. And okay. Like the Philly thing, when you talked about Carson Wentz and Gritty, I was just laughing my ass off. Because I don't know what it is about that damn Flyers mascot. Like, that thing's an abomination that has gotten over. And I have no idea why. It looks like a cracked out Philly fanatic. And it's kind of like, but they like, don't you dare talk about Gritty. So, yeah, but no, it's like, he's entertaining, and it's like, they, even when they booed him, it was like, oh, okay, we'll boo him because it's part of the show, but we really like you. Like, it was almost kind of like, you know, we're booing you because it's like, we're supposed to, we really don't, but we really like you. And it's like, him clowning Baron Corbin is fine, because to hell with Baron Corbin. Like, nobody likes Baron Corbin. and then, like, people like Elias. And I'm just curious to see what they're going to do with Elias, because it's kind of like he hasn't had to do ring work, but it's going to get to the point where if he's going to be a babyface, his ring work's going to have to, like, that's going to become important. And I'm just like, his ring skills will be the difference of, like, how high he would get as far as the card, because gimmicks only, like, a gimmick will take you far, but it'll only take you so far. Like, you know, you gotta be more than that, like, if you want to be, like, champion level.
Yeah, agreed. Like, they have not given him just even a long match. Like, Corey Graves even kind of drops the hate for the gimmick and always admits that he's a tough guy. But they haven't given him much of a test in ring wise.
Just, yeah, like the closest he had, like, was a few matches with Cena. Like, on, you know, that's going like 10 to 15 minutes. Like, he left and looks like a tough guy. So, like, he doesn't have, like, that whole can he fight ish. Like, he did look like he can fight. It's just as far as, like, can I have a 20 minute match? Because you got to, like, you know, you ain't got to be Ric Flair, but you got to be able to go 20 minutes, like, a Raw main event. Otherwise, you'll just be the mid card man.
Agreed. Yeah. So that'll be interesting. He really has not been put in that spot yet, and he kind of needs to be put in that spot just to see if he can take it, I guess. And like you said, like they kind of are lacking baby faces, so it's probably at a good time, because if Brock's your champion, you kind of need someone to take him on, and Elias is one of the few guys that at least size-wise isn't going to be completely dwarfed by either of those guys. I mean, he's still smaller.
Brock, those promos, Brock Lesnar and Elias, like Paul Heyman just looking at Elias while Elias is singing his song, and Brock probably might try to make him eat that damn guitar. Like, because Brock does not, like, Brock has, like, that bully sense of humor, like, oh, ha-ha, this is funny. Let me bash your brains in with your guitar type thing. So, and it's the fact that you talking about, like, Brock Lesnar and Elias. Like, wrestling is so, WWE is just in this weird place where all of a sudden Raw has become real open, because within like a few months, Braun Strowman became a heel, and Roman Reigns isn't there, and Dean Ambrose becomes a heel. So it's like, who's your top guy? Like, it's Seth Rollins. Is really like the top baby face, but Seth Rollins is going to be busy doing stuff with Dean Ambrose, so he can't really go after the title. And after that, it's like, you know, whatever Finn Balor's doing, and yeah, like, it's like Elias. Like, it is like Elias, yeah. Like the third biggest baby face on Raw. That's not hyperbole, like, because it ain't Bobby Roode or Chad Gable. And it's not like, if you're not counting the women, it's like, yeah. Like, I had to think about it. I'm like, Raw has no, and that kind of happened like overnight. Like, Raw has no more baby faces anymore, and it's like that's an issue.
Well, that could be why one of the more interesting things, I suppose, on TV this week. I love how the WWE announcers still have to pretend like being fired from SmackDown will not cause immediate employment on Raw.
Oh, you better, if you do, yeah, I caught that shit. I'm like, you're not gonna embarrass me in front of my sister. If you don't win, don't bother showing up to SmackDown. It's like, yeah, imagine telling Randy Orton that. like I just laugh. Like, Randy, like, it's just funny where you can say that to some people, but that promo was just so funny, because, like, it was just this old school stuff where Randy Orton's talking, and then, no, first Rey Mysterio's talking, like, I know he's the Viper, I know he's yada, 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 but I fight for all the people to believe and hope. And then Randy Orton's like, that shit's not gonna make a difference, because I'm still gonna beat you. Then Jeff Hardy jumps in and says his thing, and then The Miz jumps in and says his thing, and like, he about to say something smart to Randy Orton, and Randy Orton just looks at him. Because Randy Orton's rolling his eyes the whole time Miz is talking, so Miz says something slick about Randy Orton, and Randy Orton getting this look. And Miz like, oh, you cool. And then Randy Orton starts nodding his head, and it goes back to, like, this glaring at him. Like, Randy Orton's just at this whole, I'm this asshole that just gets to RKO people and relax, and I don't give a damn. Like, it's just a sociopath Randy Orton is just a funny thing to see.
Yeah,
put him on Raw. Like, put, you know, if you're gonna move any of those four, because you're talking about that, he'd be the one.
Yeah. Well, and I guess that was the interesting thing. You were talking about Raw needing baby faces, and I'm like, are they going to move over? It'd be weird to move Ray over already. I mean, I guess you didn't know about or didn't confirm Roman Reigns' leukemia, I suppose, at that juncture when you made that decision.
Yeah, Ray on Raw never seemed right. Like, Ray's always felt like a SmackDown guy. And we talk about size thing. You really want Braun Strowman, Lon Dorton, Rey Mysterio? He might throw him into a river. Forget an ambulance. He might throw him like a damn javelin. Because Rey is in better shape. He's smaller now, so Braun might get some more. Like,
a little, you know, more don't distance.
Don't give Vince any ideas. Let's put Rey Mysterio versus Bobby Lashley. Like, no, I don't want to see Rey die. Like, let Rey be on SmackDown and wrestle Nakamura and chill. I'm just wondering, I guess we can wrap up. They're making a big deal about Kurt Angle, about this whole World Cup thing. Like, this is a big thing. It's at this point in my career, means more than my titles of gold, man. Like, they hyping it up like he might win. And I'm just wondering, like, they're not going to have him wrestle like on Raw, are they? Like, I don't, it's because at first I thought, like, he might have a match here and there, but, like, he don't need to wrestle anymore. But they really hyped Kurt, like, out of all the people on Raw on the World Cup side, they really hyped Kurt Angle. Like, they made a big deal, like he's the one that, if anybody's going to win on that side, it's going to be him.
Well, considering that the Saudi prince, or whomever exactly is behind this thing, seems to love the Attitude Era, I suppose I would not be surprised if Kurt Angle is the winner of this thing, since he fits that bill.
We're going to have Kurt Angle versus Rey Mysterio in the finals like it's SmackDown 2002, aren't we?
That was...
I just thought about that. Like, I thought about the brackets. I'm like, we really going to get that in 2018, Rey Mysterio versus Kurt Angle in Saudi Arabia. Like, how long have we known each other? Did we ever think we would get to that point where you could say it with a straight face on a Friday afternoon pay-per-view that neither one of us really want to watch?
No, I vaguely remember, I believe it was episode 200 of Stunt Granny Audio, that we're like, oh man, fuck wrestling right now. This is really awful right now. Why don't we do other stuff? And I started doing beer reviews and all kinds of other stuff. So, yeah, I definitely was not picturing back then that I would even be concerning myself with the Friday afternoon pay-per-view on a network that did not exist at that point.
Yeah, and just think about, if you were a wrestling fan like 3 or 4 years ago, wrestling looks real strange right now, and like in a good way, like the fact you got a WWE network thing. And think about it. Jeff Hardy's back in WWE wrestling. Kurt Angle is back in WWE wrestling. Rey Mysterio is back in WWE wrestling. AJ Styles been champ for like a who knows how many years. Daniel Bryan's wrestling again. Like, and John Cena's a movie star who barely wrestles. And Shawn Michaels is coming out of retirement. And The Undertaker still wrestles, and Triple H still wrestles, and Kane's a mayor, but he's going to wrestle. Oh, and don't forget, The Big Show is in the best shape he's been in 15 years, and he just came back. Like, what? And we just had a women's all-women's pay-per-view show with Ronda Rousey in the main event. Yeah, the UFC Ronda Rousey. Imagine telling somebody that in, like, 2014 when they still chant CM Punk. Like, one day that's what WWE would be like. Yeah, we're gonna have this whole women's show, and we're gonna have women from all over the world. And you know, a week ago you had a women's tournament where a 38 year old indie wrestler has this all-time classic match with a woman wrestler who first wrestled on Nitro. as a teenager. And you're going to be excited about that. And it's like, it's just weird when I watch wrestling and see how far it's gone in such a short time. Like, you know, Wednesday will come and you'll have NXT UK and then 205 Live and NXT, and you had the Mae Young Classic, and you see the stuff with Raw and SmackDown and network shows. Matt Hardy had his goofy Halloween special that apparently was extremely entertaining. And I'm like, all of this is happening under one company. And it's like, most of this is because, and I just made the joke, you know, wrap it up. I made the joke with Jeremy. Imagine if Triple H was Thor, like people wanted him to be when Marvel first started doing those movies. How different would WWE look if that happened?
It's pretty strange. And I guess Triple H is another part of the strangeness, quite honestly. Like, who did predict, and I mean, if we're talking about the black hole of charisma days of Stunt Granny, there were certainly the Triple H is burying people days of Stunt Granny, too. And now he's
giving roses and bouquet to Japanese wrestlers as they cry the tears of victory. As he's the godfather of American wrestling. Yeah, I don't think any of us saw that coming. Like, because considering when Triple H first came, like, he signed Sin Cara and Karma, and both of those kind of flamed out. He's like, I don't know about this whole Triple H in charge type thing. Look at him now. Like, people are just waiting for Vince to retire so Triple H can take over. Who would have guessed they would ever said that?
I am certainly raising my hand for that one. I would not have guessed that, but it has happened. And I suppose I'm okay with it. Like, I've kind of really liked everything that he's been involved in, including the NXT UK, which I'm still behind on because there's just still a poop ton of wrestling that you can consume should you want to consume it.
Yeah. No, I'm actually up on that NXT UK, and like, it's fun. Like, they just have matches. They talk about the wrestlers. You know, a few wrestlers cut like promos. They have a good main event. They'll have a good women's match, and they'll have like a. They basically have like three matches. They'll have an opening match. It's like either enhanced new talent. They'll have a women's match, and then they have like a main event match. Like, it's perfect.
I believe I'm gonna like it the most just simply because the venues that they are wrestling at are far superior than anything visually that the WWE proper is going to wrestle in, or even NXT.
It does look like the Manhattan Center with like Guinness, like the Roar, like, yeah, this, I mean, it looks like a classy dungeon, if it makes sense.
I can go with that. Because, the Corn Exchange and wherever exactly they recorded this set of episodes. That was another one. I'm like, man, that is some nice brickwork that they have there.
Yeah. It definitely has its own, like, vibe. It doesn't feel like, you know, just NXT, but overseas. It feels like, you know, like a European thing.
And those titles
are gorgeous. Like, those are the best design titles in the damn company. And if I was, forget NXT, regular NXT, if I was in WWE, I'd be jealous of those UK titles. Like, I'd be mad. Like, I want a refund and take these, especially those tag team titles, that's abominations. I can't, like, those things just look so damn cheap.
The Spartan logo.
Yeah, like, if they don't get this Leonidas crap out of here and get some real tag title, like those, like, I'm not a big title component thing like that, but I appreciate the nice ones, and I can't stand the ugly ones. Like, at least we passed the whole Spinner era, because that was just yuck, but I don't like the WWE main title. Like, the world title, if it's not The Rock, it don't look right on anybody else, because it still look like a big-ass chocolate bar. Like, it's just too damn, like, that W just too damn gaudy and big. The tag titles just look cheap. The women's titles look okay. But then you look at, like, the NXT titles and the NXT UK title, like, those titles look way, way, way better than the main roster titles. And I'd be mad if I was, like, walking around with the title. Like, how Pete Dunne got a better looking belt than me? Like, if I was Braun Strowman walking around with a title, I'd be feeling a certain way. Like, how this little, or as I call him, like, you know, Rhea Ripley before, you know, before he hits puberty. So, yeah. Am I wrong for feeling like, you know, Rhea Ripley's like the after of, like, Pete Dunne's before? Like, you know, before he's like, some acne medication. Because I see the two of them, I'm like, yeah, they look like.
Until you pointed it out, I honestly hadn't thought about it, but I'm like, ah, come on, there's just too many similarities here. Like, their hair is about the same length, and I'm not trying to go the offensive route for this, but they're about the same size.
Yeah.
Because like, Rhea Ripley's a goddamn Amazon.
Yes. Like, and she's an awesome heel too, but yeah, like the facial structure. The same. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of like, you know, Pete Dunne used Neutrogena and became Rhea Ripley.
Yeah, he decided to get a Head and Shoulders advertisement, so he had to wash his hair, and he's become Rhea Ripley.
And it's funny, it's not a attack on Rhea Ripley's look. It's just like Pete Dunne looks like an ugly girl, but it just works. Like, I mean, it's money to be made to look like Peppermint Patty with, like, you know, with a mouth guard. So good for him. But yeah, I think that's a great way in the show. I don't want to piss people off, but I always laugh when I see the two of them. And then they made the mistake of putting them, like, in the same picture of, like, the hype NXT UK is, like, kind of like, okay. You just want people to compare the two now.
You're just begging me to do this. Okie dokie. Well, no one's begging me to plug the Twitter handles at DeFrango11 and at ShawFarmD or at StuntGranny. Rate and review us on iTunes, SoundCloud, or wherever you listen to us. And I will, since I was drinking some homemade beverage here again tonight, the old StuntGranny double team, I will let Shahid send us out.
For Kevin DeFranco, I'm Shahid Abdulhadi, and the only crown jewels I'm worried about is the jewels in my wallet. We are out.